You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
You know what I mean? I have just a moment. I'm just having a small tech issue. Very quick.
All right.
Your Honor, the problem I'm having is this particular flash drive, and I prepared multiple, is not pulling up the file. It was moments ago. So if the court would like me to send this up, I have an alternate original that I'd like to file, but it also is marked Exhibit 300A.
Okay, well, the one that comes in will be the one that's published. We'll put it that way. So whatever you publish, that very drive needs to be the admitted exhibit.
Will do, Your Honor. Thank you.
Very well.
Judge, if we need to take a break, we can do that if you'd like.
Well, do you think you can get that going at this time? I'd rather kind of push through and get that before the morning break.
Judge, I'm optimistic that we can get this going.
Sure. We'll give you a minute here.
Thank everyone for their patience, Judge. I think I've got it ready.
Okay.
So for the record, Judge, I'm going to advance the video to 1 hour and 3 minutes and 3 seconds approximately to begin publishing that.
Okay. And then when you stop the video, please just note on the record the timestamp of when it stopped also.
Will do, Judge.
Thank you.
Before I play this, Detective Wheeler, you see on screen a video that's put in front of the jury.
Yes.
Can you just explain and confirm what that is?
That's my patrol vehicle with Chad Daybell sitting in the back section where we have our detainees.
And to confirm also, is this the day of June 9th, 2020?
Yes.
So this is all relative to the search that you've been testifying about already?
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, you understand why that, didn't
you? Yeah.
So you just stay here with them.
Okay. Hi. They said I could talk with you, and I didn't want you to be able.
Judge, I'm going to stop at 1 minute, 1 hour, 3 minutes, and 17 seconds and ask a question. Detective Wheeler, are you aware of who is the person that has just approached Mr. Daybell in the vehicle?
His daughter, Emma.
I love you so much.
I love you. Glad you came over.
I thought they had taken you downtown already.
I got him. About to the Fremont County line.
I saw it as soon as you left.
Again, stopping at 1 hour, 3 minutes, and 38 seconds. Detective Wheeler, can you just explain to the jury the positioning of your patrol vehicle relative to the Daybell property and vantage points that could be seen from where Mr. Daybell is sitting as he sits now?
So we're parked on the south side of the residence. I believe the road is 200 north. So we're just south of the residence and facing west. And so if he were to look right outside of that open door, he would be looking at his house.
And from his sitting position, would he have a vantage point to see the pond area on his property or the fire pit area on his property?
From that position, he would just have to look over to his right shoulder and out that door, kind of towards the back of the vehicle.
What would he be able to see if he did that?
He'd be able to see the fire pit area for sure.
And to be clear, whose remains were found in the fire pit?
That was Tylee.
I'm going to go ahead and play this continuously for a while, Your Honor.
Chased you down and then they came back.
Ron? Just concerning the car.
Huh?
I know they...
Oh,
okay.
What's that?
Oh, just about the car.
Oh, we'll take care of the car. We're going
to
take
it. Is she able to get it?
Yeah, you can get that. We may have to go through the car if you're arrested in it.
Right.
That's the thing we've got to do. But then
she can have her bananas and her...
I gave him her food.
We'll try to get the car before it's for
it. You can eat it.
So, Eric, very wrong. So, like my wallet, will that be able for her to pick up, or could I turn that over to her right now?
Is that in the car? Is that here?
It's right here.
It's up to you. I don't see. Can I look through it? Just
sure.
They're going to get Mark.
Lisa?
No,
I mean, is there anything that you're going to need in that?
Well, she'll be running my finances, I suppose. So, that has a little money on it. You could.
Okay. So these are credit cards, so you're good if she just takes them.
Yes.
Correct.
In the middle drawer on the left side in Mark's room, there's about $9,000 in two white envelopes.
Okay.
So get that. Yeah, so we'll talk more about car payments and stuff, but you have that password.
I do.
I believe the Hawaiian,
that's this one,
First Hawaiian Bank, if you use that same password for this account, it's Chad Abel. That's what else you think, the producer there. This has nothing on it. It's like $6. That has to go away. So this, okay, in that same drawer, you can grab it, is a piece of this that would fit in here, and it's got the company card, company business card. And so just make sure you get that.
And this is all in Mark's room?
Yeah, I put that in there. There's a like a pamphlet with a guy who's sitting in a car. It's for the Wells Fargo auto loan.
That's the loan that they equipment.
Yeah. And so that we'll talk about. So this has, if you go to Tellmate, this is the card that's used.
Okay.
And so all you really do, you could probably just sign in as chad.daybell or start your own.
I have an account that I've been talking with Lori on.
Okay. But you could use this card.
But add money.
Yeah. And to her if needed.
Okay.
So, yeah, she'll need to still have commissary money. Usually puts 30 a week in there. So. And you can probably talk to her too.
Okay.
I'm trying.
I love you so much.
Anyway, cooperate with them as much as you feel.
I'm stopping at 107.58, Your Honor. Detective, based on your knowledge, at this point that day in the search, had law enforcement asked for any cooperation from Emma?
I can't testify to that because I don't know the extent of that.
Fair enough. Then narrowing it just to you, had you asked her to do anything or asked for any kind of cooperation from her?
No.
Thank you.
They've been kind to us today. I texted John Pryor, so he has my number. He said thank you.
Okay. A lot of the company stuff that pays for the house should just auto pay still out of that company account. You know, I left 5,000 in there.
Okay.
If you need some, come find me.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions you have?
I think, well, it sounds like you're not going to be out.
Right.
So I think I'm going to, my landlord texted me just to feel bad for me. I think I'm going to come over here.
That's what I needed you to say, because, yeah, you and Joe.
Stopping at 10904, Detective Wheeler, I just want to reiterate, we just heard that comment about he's not likely going to be out. At that point in time, you had not formally put him under arrest, is that right?
Aside from placing him in handcuffs and detaining him, no.
But you didn't advise him of potential charges or anything like that at that
No.
point? And as far as you know, had any other law enforcement advised him of any specific charges that he may be facing?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
And whatever Mark wants to do, he should stay with either you.
I'll take care of Mark. I'll take care of Mark. That's a card. I will, Dad. And I'll take care of me. I'll take care of you the best I can. Sorry to interrupt.
So keep paying the mortgage out of the company. No, you can probably set it up though. I'm trying to. It's Wells Fargo. In that same pamphlet, the password.
I'll look, but I've had a lot of success with mom stuff, just saying, will you help me? My mom died. I'm pretty sure. Will you help me? My dad's in jail. That's the same.
It should be paid through July 1st.
Okay.
And I think the car is paid through July 15th. So you shouldn't have any bills to worry about. I'm not coming back. So all that stuff that's in the baby room is Lori's and mine. The suitcases, you'll see. In the box, just in the garage, I guess, after.
Store it, see what happens.
You guys can take that mattress from upstairs, I guess, that you want, put the books back on the shelf. We're going to make it through. I'm glad we can talk. I'm glad they let you come over.
I started crying and Lieutenant Bowen, do you want to talk to him? And like, can I? He said, he's just over there. Like, oh, that changes things. You probably saw us out there.
Yeah, I was watching. So, hopefully things will slow down for you guys and get left alone. But yeah, if they'll let you move out of there, you just get over here. You get gosh,
well,
I still feel better.
I would be moving soon. That's what the spirit was telling me, but I didn't know how it all. I felt like I needed to learn more. And now I get it.
So, yeah, this is essentially the house, and we'll talk to John Pryor about the financial arrangement, but you should be fine for a while.
I think long enough to get on our feet.
I have a lot in that account with the other attorney, so that will take care of me for a while. And maybe we just do a refinance on the house. Or a home equity loan.
Does it?
I don't think it's going to break us. I think that might be an option there. I might need to authorize putting you on the mortgage.
On the account with you? And just probably leave Joe off it?
Yeah. Yeah, keep me on it with you. And
do you have accounts like that when you're in jail?
I don't know.
I guess this is the part you get to that there's someone else
in the hospital. Well, actually, Spring Creek Book Company's office, so you can. We'll manage it that way. Some point along.
And you have an. You can send things through Amazon to the jail.
Yeah.
So, like, I couldn't send you a package, but Amazon, if I ordered it through there, it could get to you.
Yeah.
I'll only do that as you ask for stuff.
Lori would know the Amazon account.
I'll talk to her.
Yeah, because I have, like, $265 or so in there as gift certificates. So don't pay.
Yeah, I won't.
We'll get it figured out. It's like Cholo 1105. Same as her, loves Elena. At iCloud.com, I believe is the password. I don't know what they're going to do with the computers. You could probably, it wasn't part of the search warrant.
Do you know, are they leaving the computers?
Well, they were in my bag. They were in the car.
They'll probably hold on to those and try to get them out.
Okay, but things that are currently in the house will likely be left.
I don't know what's been taken out.
Okay.
Yeah. But when we clear from there, whatever's in there,
it'll be left. Okay.
I talked to them and told them the bedrooms and do not mess it up. And they didn't seem like they were going to luminol at all.
Okay.
But yeah, get Garth and Seth moved and you guys come over here. It'll work out. It's all in the Lord's hands.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk. Use that cellmate. I don't know if I'm Madison or Fremont. I think they're deciding that right now. But
that's what it sounded like. Detective Ball wouldn't, or Lieutenant Ball wouldn't say because he didn't know.
I'm sure Fremont has a cellmate system. So.
Well, at Fremont, when I went in to get fingerprinted to teach, I was like in there, like in the jail. I was like in my, like, teacher clothes. This is little recent grad. So I don't know what they do.
Sorry, all neighbors are going to be talking, but you
they
just.
We're okay, Dad.
Well,
we're okay. You raised us that we're independent now with your wallet.
Glad you got that.
We're not Colby.
Right. But yeah, get that money out of there. Probably just put it in your own personal account rather than have the cash laying around. So you need some.
I think they've been okay talking with her. I might not tell Joe about it either.
About the money?
Yeah, no. I have an account that's just in my name. I'm just going to put it in there. Wait.
Well, Garth knows about that money.
Garth doesn't spend this frivolously, Joe.
The checkbooks are in that drawer too, if needed, but you shouldn't need them. If at some point you feel you need to clear out the Hawaii account or something, you can check my email. I have to pick that computer, but my email at Rexburg password is pretty much everything.
Okay.
For the bank or my email, cholo1105, but I think I switched to all of those. I talked to Lori just for like 2 minutes. So she's aware they were searching.
Was she surprised?
She seemed bothered or disturbed. I mean, yeah, but so yeah, I'll be fine.
I don't know what they told you, because I asked Lieutenant Ball, where did you find the human remains? That's what they told me, that they found human remains. And I said, well, there are several dogs that have been buried there. And he said, respectfully, Emma, I can tell the difference of human remains. And I asked, where was it? And he said, over by the pond under that tree, that it was in the ground and had boards over it.
Okay.
But that didn't... Face and I have walked all over there.
Yeah.
I can see in your face that surprised you. Because they asked, do you want to know what he's charged for? And then they went, well, actually, we don't have it. They said, we don't want to tell you something wrong.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to charge you for. How are they going to?
And so he told me that what they're looking at is that they found one body with the probable cause. There's likely two. So I asked, are you going to search the property forever until it's found? And he said, well, no, but we're going to look. And he said, because I said, what about, this is the home for my siblings and there's a baby. And he said, if you're not able to get back in tonight, we'll hook them up at a hotel. He said, you're not in trouble.
I think they'll let them back.
I...
There's nothing in the house. They haven't...
Stopping it. 1 hour, 19 minutes, and 17 seconds. Detective Wheeler, at that point, to the best that you can recall, was any of the search focused inside of the house?
Not that I can recall.
So the focus, as based on your memory, was all outside of the house?
Correct.
Focused on the house at all?
We've kind of been looking in it in the yard.
Yeah, I mean, Mark... It's back. I wouldn't mind.
I think we're okay coming over. We just have to have law enforcement escort us onto the scene, and
we'll make it through.
Mark deals with trauma weird, that he just acts vaguely unimpressed. So I called him and said, Dad got arrested, and he said, well, I guess I should come home. Yeah, Mark, you should.
Yeah, you don't need to go. Yeah.
I don't want to. Joe is home. He's home and he has Chase. Garth and Seth went in Garth's car to pick up Mark.
So if you can get that.
A couple seconds.
Okay. Just let Mark use the Equinox or however you rearrange the cars. It's all a matter of timing. It seemed to come together. But I love you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for letting me speak with her.
Just when that cellmate, once I'm available to talk, we can talk. So, thank you. Love you.
Now stopping at 121.16, for the record, I'm going to advance to 121.39, 121.36. Detective Wheeler, I just invite you to watch carefully what Chad does, and I'm going to stop and let you explain any significance to that. Stopping at 121.47. Detective, what direction is Mr. Daybell looking when he just turned his head and looked back?
It appears to me he's looking over to the fire pit area.
And that is, in fact, where Tylee's remains were found?
Yes.
And you were present when her remains were found, is that correct?
I was.
Can you just briefly describe what your observations were when you were involved in that process?
So I had been tasked with helping carefully excavate around the remains. The odor was horrible. The decay had set in. We were trying to get pieces of flesh and bones as much kept together as possible until we were able to get most of it out and laid out and packaged.
Thank you. And to be clear for the jury, before you became involved in the actual search and helped find Tylee, what did you do with Chad in the back of your patrol car?
So shortly after that, we were asked to transport him to the Fremont County Jail. So Detective Schmidt and I transported him to that facility.
So then what did you after you, what did you do after you transported him back to the jail?
I was asked to come back to the scene, and that's where I was informed that they'd also found an area where...
I'm going to object at this point. That calls for hearsay.
It sounds like there wasn't foundation for that, so I'll sustain that.
So when you returned, what did you do specifically?
I assisted in searching the area of the fire pit.
And was there... Were you the lead investigator at that point?
No.
Was there a lead investigator?
Yes.
And were you following directions from whomever that was?
Yes.
As you recall, who was that person?
It would have been either Lieutenant Ball or Detective Hermosillo, but I can't say for sure.
There's no doubt you were a subordinate. Is that fair?
No doubt.
I think the last question, about how long were you back at the property in this process of recovering Tylee's remains?
I had returned back to the property at approximately 1:30 or 2 in the afternoon after I dropped Chad off, and we were there the rest of that day and into the next day, the 10th.
Approximately how many hours the rest of that day were you there?
I had to estimate another 5 or 6. I also assisted in setting up light trailers and things for scene security overnight. Sorry, light trailers.
Your Honor, at this time, I don't have any further questions. I might ask as a courtesy to counsel if he wants me to leave my laptop and the exhibit in case he wants to play from it.
Judge, I can use my own laptop, and I've marked as exhibit number 63 on my list a copy of the outside video that Officer Wheeler was involved in. There's two videos that we stipulated to. Just as a precaution, Judge, and it's not that I don't trust Mr. Wixom's technology, but I'd ask Mr. Wixom to stipulate to the admission of my exhibit number 63, which I'll make a representation is the exact audio video of the outside of the stop of Mr. Daybell.
We do not object, Your Honor. We believe it will precisely mirror and should precisely mirror exhibit 300B from the state that you've already admitted.
Let me be really clear on that then. So we've already admitted two exhibits. I really don't want a duplicate exhibit. And it sounds like 300B would be the same as 63.
That's what I believe based on the representations of counsel. Yes.
All right, counsel, if there's a way to use the same single exhibit, I would prefer that to avoid any confusion in the record.
Judge, for convenience, would Mr. Wixom permit me to use my video of 63 for demonstrative purposes with this witness?
Counsel, why don't you work that out? I think what we'll do is take a mid-morning recess before you begin cross, Mr. Pryor. And if you'll talk just for a moment, we've already admitted 300B. And so, again, I'm just hesitant to have a duplicate video showing the same thing. I guess I'm not. Maybe I could be convinced, but I think it's best practice to have one exhibit for one video.
Certainly.
So if your file works in his computer, perhaps he can just use his computer with the admitted court exhibit 300B.
It's fine with me, Your Honor.
Okay. If you'll take a look at that on the break, let's go ahead and take our mid-morning recess. Let's try to reconvene again in 30 minutes.
Your Honor, for the record, I wanted to turn in the exhibit that I just played because there was the issue with the other player, just so the court can keep track of what was just played.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be the one that will be the 300A.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be in recess. Please. Thank you. Please be seated. You can go now. And then we'll have the jurors brought in, please.
Good show. Bye. Very present and accountable.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. All right. We concluded our mid-morning recess at this time. Then Detective Wheeler still on the stand, still under oath for his testimony. And this will be the time for cross-examination. When you get to any exhibits, we did discuss those in the sidebar. And Mr. Pryor, you can just move for admissions of any exhibits you have. with this cross-examination. So,
and Judge, by stipulation of the parties are stipulating to Defense Exhibit 63, which represents the body cam of Officer Wheeler, which I don't think has been brought up yet.
All right. Exhibit 63 was clarified. It is not the same as what we previously said was 300B. So 63 is a new exhibit, and I understand the state's reviewed that. Is there any objection to Exhibit 63 being admitted? All right. Exhibit 63 is admitted then. Mr. Pryor, you can commence with your cross.
And Judge, at the appropriate time, I'll ask permission to publish when I get to that point.
Very well.
Officer Wheeler, I just want to clarify a couple of things if we could.
Yep.
I want to clarify your role from the morning when you arrived at 7 a.m. And your testimony is you did arrive at about 7 a.m. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And then what was your role immediately at 7 a.m.?
So I assisted in securing the front roadway that goes in front of the property, 1900 East. And then just assisting with any crowd control and traffic control at that intersection in that road.
Okay. Was there a significant crowd there at that point?
No, there had not been right at 7.
Okay. And approximately how many officers were there at the time?
I can't testify to that.
Okay. You did say multiple agencies, right?
Correct.
Those agencies would include the FBI?
Yes.
The Rexburg Police Department?
Yes.
The Fremont County Police Department.
Sheriff's Office.
Sheriff's Office, yes. Madison County as well?
I don't recall seeing any Madison County to my knowledge.
Okay. Any other citizens there other than law enforcement who were present that you recognized?
Not on the property, no.
On the 9th?
Not on that. Nope.
Okay. Okay. Now, your duties at the time back on this date of 2020, what was your primary job other than this working on this case at that time?
I was a sergeant in patrol, so helping with scheduling, shift coverage.
So you would also go out on patrol and you would do that was part of your role. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And you're with, and at the time, you were, this is where I'm a little confused. At the time you were with the Rexburg Police Department or were you with a different agency?
Rexburg Police Department.
Okay. And as part of your duties, as part of your role as a sergeant, supervisory role, you had a vehicle with a camera inside, right?
Yes.
And the camera also videotaped outside. Is that right?
Yes.
And as part of your role in a supervisory position with the Rexburg Police Department, you also carried a body cam. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And it was standard for you to carry a body cam as part of your role as in a supervisory position. Is that right?
For patrol, yes.
Okay. Okay. Now, in describing Fremont County, that's a rural part of town out near Mr. Daybell's place. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. Now, from 7 o'clock until what time did you leave your role as your supervisory position in overseeing the comings and goings of people going onto the property?
I would say when I was asked to make the traffic stop.
So in other words, you were there at 7 a.m. and when you made the traffic stop, and again, what time was that?
I believe it was approximately 11:20 a.m.
Okay, so you were there for approximately 4 hours and 20 minutes, your role was to supervise the outside of the property there and obviously keep an eye on Mr. Daybell, right?
Correct.
Okay. And from 7 o'clock until 11 o'clock, again, tell me where Mr. Daybell's whereabouts were.
So initially he got into his car, moved it to the west side of his home in the driveway. Later took it over to the house kitty corner from his property and then left southbound on 1900 East.
Okay. So from the time he parked the car in the driveway, how long did he sit in the driveway?
This would be an estimation, approximately an hour, 45 minutes to an hour.
Okay. So and I'm not going to hold you to this.
Yeah.
7 to 8 o'clock is fair for him being in the driveway.
He didn't exit the house till 7:30.
Okay. 7 to 8:30 in the driveway?
Approximately.
And then you saw him get in his car and you said that he was the tail end was backed into the garage, right?
At his property, yes.
So the tail end of his vehicle was to the back where the garage is.
Correct.
And how far from the back of the garage was Mr. Daybell's bumper? Can you tell me?
I couldn't.
Was it close? Was it far?
To the garage?
Yeah.
Back bumper to the garage?
Yeah.
I know you could walk between it.
You could walk between it.
Yes.
So there wasn't 30 feet, but it was closer to just a couple of feet to get behind.
I can't testify to that.
You don't remember?
I don't remember.
Exactly. Okay. That's okay. So then approximately about 8:30, you saw the car exit and he drove over to Emma's place. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Did he have any contact with law enforcement up until that time?
He had.
He had?
Yes.
Do you know who spoke with him?
I don't know everybody that spoke to him when they made contact inside the home originally.
So at some point he was advised that they found remains on his property. When did that take place?
That didn't take place, to my knowledge, until he was stopped on the traffic stop.
Oh, okay. So you're, and this is where I'm kind of confused. And please, you know, educate me a little bit. So you said that Mr. Daybell was in Emma's house, his daughter's house, for about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. And while he was in the house, you didn't see him try to run away or flee or do anything like that, right?
Correct.
He didn't have any knowledge of anything going on out on his property other than there were multiple police officers out there, right?
I can't testify to that. I don't know what he could see from that home.
Well, as a patrol officer, you understand, and as a sergeant, you understand that when someone is stopped for a traffic ticket, there's a certain amount of anxiety with people when that happens to them. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
And would you agree then that if there are 30 police officers, 30 plus police officers showing up at your property, and looking all over your property outside, not inside, but outside, would that tend to think that maybe you're a little curious about what's going on your property?
It could.
And that doesn't mean that you're guilty of anything. That doesn't mean you have any knowledge. What that means is you're curious about why are there 30 officers wandering around my property? Wouldn't you agree with that?
That could be the case.
Okay, thank you. So then when Mr. Daybell left Emma's house, it's your testimony that he sped off. Is that what your testimony was?
I believe it was. It appeared that he was speeding.
It appeared he was speeding. Okay. So he doesn't have any knowledge about what's going on the property at that point, right?
No, I don't know that.
Okay. He hasn't been told by anybody from the law enforcement agency that that they found something on his property. Is that fair?
Not that I was aware of.
Okay. And then in your testimony, he maybe he wasn't speeding, maybe he was going fast. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. So he wasn't racing off then, correct?
He accelerated quicker than...
Okay. And the speed limit on Salem Highway, and I've been on there a couple of times, is about 50 miles an hour. Starts slow, but when you get right on Salem Highway, it's a 50-mile-an-hour road.
Counsel's testifying.
Okay. I'll ask him, Judge Instead.
Hold on. Again, when there's an objection, I don't want an immediate argument back. I want a moment to rule, and that objection is overruled.
Okay.
So you can re-ask, and the officer can answer if he knows, knowing he's a law enforcement officer in the area.
Do you have knowledge of what the speed limit is on Salem Highway in front of Mr. Daybell's house?
50 miles an hour.
Okay, so 50 miles an hour. So if you're pulling out of a driveway, and Emma's where she used to live, is right on Salem Highway, right?
Correct.
So it wouldn't be unusual for someone to pull into traffic and start accelerating into going down the road, right?
No.
Okay. Now, I saw on the body cam, did you have a chance to go look over your body cam?
Yes.
Okay. And when did you review that?
A couple days ago.
Okay. Now, I saw on the body cam, and if we have to, we'll play this for everybody if you have trouble remembering something, but I saw on the body cam where you pull up and Mr. Daybell stopped in a vehicle and you get out of the vehicle. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And then you walked up to, it looked like there were about four or five officers there, right?
I know that there were two unmarked surveillance officers that were there with me at that time.
Okay, but Officer Humercio was there.
He arrived shortly after.
Officer Ball was there.
Arrived shortly after.
And as soon as they arrived and you walked up, there was a discussion to Mr. Daybell about where he was going. Do you remember that?
I don't recall that.
Did you have a discussion that he was going to visit somebody that morning?
I did not.
Did he have a discussion about having a meeting with his lawyer that morning?
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge.
Okay. So you have no recollection of the discussion of anyone at that point pointing out to Mr. Daybell that he can't go see his lawyer. The lawyer can come to him.
I do recall overhearing a statement about his lawyer.
Okay, so now you remember the statement about the lawyer. So gleaming from that statement, you were to understand that Mr. Daybell was in the process of going to see his lawyer, right?
No.
Okay. Judge, I'm going to ask to publish the body cam that's been previously admitted into evidence, and I'll see if I can get this to go.
And that'll be Exhibit 63?
Yes, Your Honor.
There's a pretty dodge coming through, I believe, with the... On the
what do we got? Do we know what we have?
I don't know what they want.
Yeah, go ahead and step out here for us. They just asked us to stop you, so just come right here. They're going to come and chat with you, okay? Just stand right here. You don't have anything on you? No weapons or nothing?
Hey, Chad. We were in the cage. So we're in detain for a minute. We'll figure out what we're going to do. Well, your attorney can now come to you.
Okay. So it's difficult to hear Mr. Daybell, but he commented to the officer when the officer inquired, you know, what he was doing. Do you now recall that?
I couldn't hear what he said.
But the officer's response to Mr. Daybell was, now your lawyer can come to see you. Did you recognize that?
Yes.
Which officer, by the way, said that?
I believe that was Lieutenant Ball.
Okay, so Lieutenant Ball is the one who said, your officer can come to you now. Is that fair?
Attorney.
Your lawyer can come to you now.
Yes.
Okay, so it appears that Mr. Daybell was in the process of going to see his lawyer that morning.
I can't testify to that.
Right. But according to Lieutenant Ball's comment, your lawyer can come to you now. It sort of presumes that, doesn't it?
I could presume that he was trying to call or wanted to talk to his attorney first.
Okay, and he was doing that in his car as he was driving away, right?
I don't know that.
Or he was doing that driving down the road instead of spending another hour in his house with Emma talking to his lawyer on the phone. He chose to instead, well, I'll just get in the car and...
Objection, Your Honor. It's calling for speculation.
Sustained.
And then after that point, you put Chad into handcuffs, right?
Yes.
Put him in the back of your car.
Yes.
And that was the video that we observed with Mr. Wixom, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, do you recall Mr. Daybell on the video that you looked at with Mr. Wixom, where Mr. Daybell mentions, I don't know what they're charging me with? Do you record him saying that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you also record him, or also recall him, excuse me, saying to Emma, cooperate as much as you feel. Remember Emma saying that?
Yes.
Okay. At what point during that process was Mr. Daybell advised that they found a body on his property?
Right prior to this clip right here.
Okay. And at that, so at the point that he was having a discussion with his daughter, Emma, at that point, he didn't know what he was being charged with, correct?
Not to my knowledge.
Nobody told him what he was being charged with, correct?
Not to my knowledge.
But it's a pretty serious allegation if you get put in a set of handcuffs and put behind a van, and then suddenly they say, we found a body on your property, right?
Could you repeat the question?
That's a pretty serious allegation.
Yes.
In your traffic experience, that's not something that happens every day, right?
Right.
So at that point, Mr. Daybell is put in the back of the car. Chad's put in the back of the car, and Emma was allowed to talk with him, right?
Correct.
So we don't know what was going on in Mr. Daybell's mind, do we?
I don't.
Right. And we don't know what he's thinking, right?
Right.
But we do know that he's been told, guess what? They found a body on your property, right?
Correct.
Okay. And you're in handcuffs, right?
Correct.
And then Mr. Daybell says, we're going to make it through this, right?
Yes, sir.
And he's talking to his daughter about financial, where he can come up with money, credit cards, business accounts that he has, things like that, correct?
They were discussing those.
Right. So the purpose of discussing that, we don't know whether he was doing that to try to figure out a way if he could post bond on a release after he's being accused of this, right?
I don't know that.
You don't know that, right? We don't know what the reason for him trying to get his financial financials in order, right?
Right.
Now, I want to go back to the driveway. And originally, Chad was parked in a driveway from the south side. There's a driveway that comes in through the south, right?
Yeah, southeast of the residence.
Southeast of the residence. It's a long driveway that gets right into the middle of the, what I would call the backyard, the lawn area of the yard, right?
Correct.
Okay, now that's where he originally was parked, correct?
Yes.
And would you agree with me that parked in that location gives you the best view of the fire pit and the pond?
I don't know about the pond because there was a shed there, but the fire pit.
Clearly the fire pit, right?
Correct.
And you don't know about the pond because the pond is off back on a portion of the property set back a little further, right?
Correct.
And it's a distance to see it, correct? That'd be fair, wouldn't it? Fair?
Distance is pretty relative, I guess.
Okay. Well, how far from where Mr. Daybell was parked to looking at the tree where they found JJ's remains?
I couldn't testify to an exact distance.
All right, fair enough. It's a distance, though. This isn't his backyard, right?
You could see it easily.
Okay, you could see it easily from that location, right, where he was.
Distance-wise, that amount of distance.
Okay. But the remains of both of these children were found in the pasture area, right?
Yes.
So if we say what I'm talking about, the backyard, would you agree with me that the backyard is where this driveway is and where the lawn is? That would be really the backyard. Would you agree with that?
That's landscaped as grass, yes.
Right. Okay. And then beyond a fence is the fire pit. And then further down off in the far, which would be the northeast corner, is a tree with a pond back some ways away from the house, right?
To the north of the fire pit.
Right. So this is what I'm struggling with. This is where I'm having some difficulty. If you have such a good view of the fire pit and the pond with the tree where JJ was found, if your purpose is to observe and see what's going on for some nefarious reason, why would he move?
I believe he was advised to, so they could get crime scene stuff in and out of that driveway.
Okay, so he was told he had to get out of there.
I believe so.
Okay, do you know who told him that?
I don't.
Okay. So then he drives out and goes in front of the house in the driveway.
Correct.
There's no other place to go. He has to go in the driveway, right?
If he wants to remain at the house, yes.
Right. And it's your testimony that he was looking around a little bit at that point, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, you know, he wasn't emotional at that point, right?
I didn't have a good vantage point to determine that.
He didn't have a look of fear on his face at that point. Is that right?
Not that I could see.
Okay. He didn't have a look of nervousness or tension or anything like that, did he?
I believe that he did.
You believe he did?
Yes.
Are you basing that on him turning his head and looking around?
Multiple times.
Okay. How many times is multiple?
There was 4 or 5 and then him exiting the vehicle.
Okay. Okay. So if someone is on your property and there are 30 police officers digging around on your property, you don't think someone would be curious about what's going on your property?
That's why I said that I believe he was nervous.
Okay. He was curious.
It could be both, yes.
Oh, okay. 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 But then he didn't run at that point, right?
No.
He went over to his daughter's, right?
Correct.
And he was there for an hour and a half, almost 2 hours, right?
Correct.
And then we just saw the video. He got accelerated a little bit, 50 miles an hour on Salem Highway. And when he stopped, he was planning on going to see his lawyer, right?
I don't know that.
Okay. Well, why would Lieutenant Ball say he's going to have to come to you? Was that
just for speculation, Your Honor?
Sustained.
Lieutenant Ball said to him, your lawyer's going to have to come to you, right?
Something along those lines, yes.
So there was at least a discussion about going to see the lawyer, right?
I don't know that.
Okay. You just think that was a statement Lieutenant Ball would just throw out there?
Judge, this has been asked and answered. It's pure speculation. The witness doesn't know.
I'll move on, Judge.
Well, again, I'd like to be allowed a chance to rule on that, and it is sustained as asked and answered. So do move on, Mr. Pryor.
Okay. Now, after you put Chad in the back of the car and what we talked about with Emma, talking about the finances, and there was a time when Emma made a comment that I can tell by your expression that you didn't know what was going on out there. Something to that effect. Do you remember hearing that?
Yes.
Okay, and you saw Chad's eyes when they talked about the body and his expression. So he had a reaction to that surprise. Would you agree with that?
I couldn't see that.
Okay. But obviously we have the video and we can make our own determination at some point, right?
Sure.
What the reaction was when he's told about a body that was being found. Okay. So then subsequent to that time, after Emma left, if you look at the outside camera of the premises, Chad, at one point, you talked about this, looked back, right? And you said that was towards the fire pit, right?
There were multiple times that he looked back towards that area, yes.
But if he was looking back, if you look at the position of the car, isn't it true that he was actually looking back at his daughter walking away and Officer Dave Hope behind the vehicle?
I don't know.
You don't know what he was looking at?
No, I don't know where Emma was at. She lives in front of the vehicle, so I don't know why she would be behind it.
Okay, and then the video speaks for itself, though, as to what exactly Chad was looking at, right?
It shows what direction he was looking at.
Okay, on the outside body, the outside cam of your vehicle, right?
In the front? I don't know what outside cam you're talking about.
The camera that was recording the encounter from the outside of your vehicle.
My body cam?
No, there were two cameras there.
Front car camera?
Front car camera, and then there was the one inside the car as well, right?
Correct.
Okay. But the cameras will speak to themselves as to where Chad was looking, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I correct me if I'm wrong, and I may be mistaken, but I thought you previously testified that by looking straight out the window, the way Chad's vehicle was positioned, that looking straight out the driver's or the passenger side window or the window he was in would be right directly at the fire pit. Isn't that what you testified to?
His residence.
Okay. So you're telling me that by looking behind or back, he's looking away from his residence. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. So again, what time did you drop Chad off at the jail?
I believe it was approximately 12:45.
Okay. And I just need to clarify something else. How have you been on that property before?
Prior to that day?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. All right. But you saw cadaver dogs there on that day?
Yes.
Okay. And again, what time did you get back from after you dropped Chad off?
Back to the residence, approximately 1330, 1:30.
And for those of us who aren't in the military,
sorry,
that'd be 1:30, right?
Approximately 1:30 p.m. Yeah.
Okay. I can do that math, I think. And then you were there until what time at night?
I don't recall the exact time until we decided to convene till the next day.
And your primary goal at that point was excavation, is that right?
After I had returned, they reassigned me to help with the property.
Okay. And what role specifically? Were you at the fire pit or were you at the tree back behind the pasture there?
Primarily the fire pit area.
Okay. And do you recall who was with you at the fire pit?
There were multiple people.
When you say multiple, how many are we talking about?
I don't even want to estimate. There was people coming and going.
Oh, okay.
So I don't recall who was there and when.
And they were handing off the shovels and the tools used to do that?
Not necessarily handing them off, maybe expanding areas to look at and sift through.
And at one time, how many people would you say were digging around the fire pit with you?
I don't want to testify to that. I don't know.
You don't want to testify or you don't know?
I don't know. I don't know for sure how many.
Was it more than two?
Yes.
Was it more than four?
Yes.
Was it more than eight?
I don't know.
Okay. And were you using just shovels?
No, they had sifters, hand tools, shovels.
So shovels, sifters, hand tools, anything else, or is that it?
Not that I can recall.
Other than digging in the dirt in the fire pit, was there any other obstruction in the fire pit that you recall having difficulty with?
Repeat that question.
Any difficulty in digging in the soil when you were at the fire pit?
Where we found Tylee's remains.
Yes, where Tylee's remains were found.
Just how careful we wanted to be.
Okay. So there were no boards, there were no obstructions, there were no rocks or anything like that. It was soil that you had to dig through. Is that fair?
There were some clumps of rock or hard.
Yeah, but nothing else, just small clumps?
Not that I recall.
Okay, and were you there primarily for a significant amount of the time in, of the excavation?
Yes.
Okay, good. And Judge, I think that's all I have. I think that's all I have at this point.
All right. If we could have the published exhibit removed from the screen there, Mr. Pryor. Did we note on the record the time frame stamp when that stopped? We may not have.
103, it looks like, Judge.
Okay.
The minute you. Three is looks like when it was stopped is what I look like I have, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. All right. I'll let counsel return then, and we'll have redirect Mr. Wixom.
Detective Wheeler, you were asked several questions by Mr. Pryor about, in your experience, different reactions that people have in terms of levels of nervousness.
Yes.
And he asked you a question about whether or not someone might typically get nervous with a simple traffic stop.
Correct.
Can I answer that? Can you just explain, is that your common experience as a law enforcement?
Yes, I think that most people do get a little nervous when they get stopped by police.
Yeah. In your experience, when someone's about to have a serious crime such as bodies on their property found, would they normally get nervous?
I would assume yes.
Would they be curious and looking back at the property where the bodies were buried?
Yes.
So if they,
officer,
they...
I'm sorry to interrupt. Could you just speak more directly?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You yep. kind of moved over and we're sorry. Not getting your signal.
In your experience, Detective Wheeler, if someone is about to be discovered in a crime, about to be caught in a crime, have you ever experienced someone just acknowledging that and just surrendering because they know they're caught?
It is common for suspects, when confronted with possibly getting caught, to try to distance themselves from whatever they're getting.
What? Let me ask you a different way. So have you ever experienced a situation where evidence was being found immediately and the reaction of the suspect was just to accept it and not resist or argue or react in any way? Judge, this...
Oh. Overruled.
Go ahead now.
Will you repeat that question?
Have you ever, in your experience as a law enforcement officer, ever been in a situation where evidence was about to be discovered that incriminated the suspect and they just reacted calmly without any nervousness and just basically acquiesced?
Very few times.
But it has happened?
Yes.
Mr. Pryor asked a question about when Mr. Daybill was looking back at the property and he was looking curiously. Do you remember that question?
Correct.
Yeah. Would you say that another reason why someone might be curious about all these law enforcement digging on your property could be that you were aware they're about to find bodies that you knew were buried on your property? Could that cause curiosity?
Yes.
Mr. Pryor asked you a question about the speed in the roadway in front of Mr. Daybill's property. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. And again, what was the speed on that road?
50 miles an hour.
And I think you testified that it may not be abnormal for someone living on that street to drive out into the street and then quickly accelerate to 50 miles an hour or more.
Correct.
Yeah. Would you disagree that someone who believed that bodies that were buried on his property might be a reason in addition to that, why they might quickly get on the roadway and drive away quickly and accelerate like you've talked about?
Yes.
There's been some discussion as well. There's some questions from Mr. Pryor about the fire pit. And I just want to flesh that out a bit. You testified earlier that you were present when Tylee's remains were recovered.
Yes.
And you participated in that.
Yes.
We've talked about the fire pit. Are you familiar with what's been called a pet cemetery on that property?
Yes.
Overruled.
Can you explain to the jury, were any of Tylee's remains found in the pet cemetery?
So when I became involved, I don't know what the team had designated as cemetery and fire pit. So I can't testify to where exactly they had designated those points, but they were in that area that I assisted.
Did you become familiar with at least generally where the team was
what they were calling was the pet cemetery?
Sustain.
Did you receive any knowledge based upon what the team effort was, what had been designated by law enforcement there as what they were going to call the pet cemetery?
Mr. Wixon.
Because I'm asking based on his knowledge simply if he knew what law enforcement designated as that area.
Mr. Pryor, please enter the microphone.
Sure. And in response to that, that knowledge would only be obtained through hearsay. You knew my objection, Your Honor.
What would be the exception, Mr. Wixom?
Judge, I'm not offering to prove it for the truth of the matter as to where the pet cemetery was. I'm simply asking this witness if he knew that area, generally speaking, as they were conducting their investigation for the remains, the area that they were calling that. But that's all.
Fair Judge, enough. And it's absolutely being asked for the truth of the matter asserted. That's exactly why he's asking it.
The objection's overruled. I find it as an exception to the hearsay rule, and the officer can answer the question.
I was familiar with the area called the pet cemetery.
And where was the pet cemetery in relation to the fire pit?
It was to the west and to the side a little bit, not very far away.
So in your earlier testimony, when you talked about the direction that Mr. Daybell was looking in the back of your patrol car, remember that testimony?
Yes.
And I think you testified you used the term fire pit.
Yes.
Okay. Can I just be clear for the jury, was the pet cemetery in the same general direction as the fire pit where Mr. Daybell was looking?
Yes.
You were asked some questions about the use of shovels and tools in attempting to recover Tylee's remains?
Yes.
Could you explain a little bit more to the jury what kind of cautions and efforts were made to uncover those remains?
The majority of what I did, I was on my hands and knees with brushes and little hand tools, removing portions of dirt away from the mass that we had found.
Without being too graphic, when you were removing those portions of dirt, did you personally find any portion of her remains?
Yes.
Can you describe those remains that you'd found?
Judge, I'm going to object.
Basis.
He doesn't have the knowledge to identify remains, Judge. I haven't heard anything foundation-wise to allow him to make that kind of an assessment.
Well, on the objection, Mr. Ricks, he can testify to what he found. I don't know that there's enough foundation to accurately identify who was found.
Yeah. Detective Wheeler, did you find what you believe to be human remains?
Yes.
Can you be specific about what you were finding?
We found a portion of a skull and started to uncover that. Then there was flesh and other bones in a bucket melted.
And at the time that the search was being conducted, were you aware of the names of the people whose remains they were looking for?
Yes.
What were those names?
JJ and Tylee.
At any point in time, besides the remains of Tylee and the remains of JJ, were any other human remains found on the property?
No.
So going back to the method and the manner that you used to recover these remains, you said you used a brush at points?
Brushes and hand tools.
Why did you use those specific types of tools?
To try to keep what we were uncovering together without falling apart.
Not to be oversimplistic, but why is that important in this kind of a recovery in the ground of remains? Why do you need to do that?
I think it assists in identification purposes and evidence collecting so we don't lose anything.
Is it fair to say that that's a careful process?
Yes.
You were asked questions about passing off shovels or different shovels and tools. When you were engaged in this recovery of her remains and you observed other law enforcement, did you ever see anybody in any way haphazardly use those tools?
Judge, objection, mischaracterizing the question and the testimony.
Overruled.
I didn't see anybody using them. I don't know the word that you used. Could you repeat the question?
Sure. Did you see anybody using them in any way that was haphazard or not cautious?
No.
So at no point when the remains were being recovered, did you see any conduct by law enforcement that wasn't conscientious and careful?
No.
I think you're a 17-year law enforcement veteran, is that correct?
18.
Thank you. Are you familiar with the term consciousness of guilt?
Yes.
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. We're going well beyond the scope of cross-examination.
I'd like a quick sidebar. All right. Thank you, counsel. After the sidebar, the court is sustaining the objection, and I'll move to strike that last question. So, Mr. Wixom, if you could ask a different question, please.
Thank you. Detective Wheeler,
if someone gets in a car and flees quickly or appears to, what can that be indicative of?
Judge, calls for speculation.
Overruled.
Could be that they have knowledge that something is going to be found or some sort of guilt.
Would that go back to that term, consciousness of guilt?
Judge, can we approach sidebar, please?
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.